On Purim from the Eretz Tzvi, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer was, as you can see here, was a Rav in Kozhuglov, and served as the Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin. Unfortunately, he was killed al Kiddush Hashem in 1943, and his Torah is very, very sweet and very beautiful. Here's a picture of him. I've told you many times when we mentioned the Kozhuglover, that if you go to the YU library and you go to 5A and you step outside the elevator, you'll see a big picture of him on the wall because some of his family members donated to the YU library. And again, just another example of an amazing tzaddik who was taken from us much too soon. Much too soon. Okay, so his writings are called Eretz Tzvi. He has Shailos and Tshuvos. He has writings on Chumash. Today we're going to learn a piece from his writings on the Moadim. Beautiful volume on the Moadim, the Eretz Tzvi on Moadim, on Purim. And it's a mature piece of Torah. You have to be a mature person to understand this Torah. I guess we would call it, loving and learning Torah at all costs, I think would be a good title for today's shiur. And what exactly happened with the Kabbalah HaTorah of Har Sinai, last week's Parsha, and what happened on Purim? Maybe you could say it's the difference between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet. Or maybe it's the difference between your year in Israel and the rest of your life. Okay, so let's see. Let's learn about taking responsibility for our Torah. Again, thanks for being here on time. And that itself is a sign of being responsible. Okay, so let's see. We know the pasuk, V'yisyatzvu b'tachtis ha'har. The Jews stood at the foot of the mountain. We stood at the foot of Har Sinai. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Peches, Melamed shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem es ha'har kegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended a mountain over our head, like a gigas, like a barrel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, accept the Torah, or I'm going to drop this mountain on top of you. And the Gemara says, Mikan modo'o rabba lo raisa. From here we have a great excuse when it comes to our commitment to Torah. In other words, for every avera that you did, this seems to be the theme of the week, making excuses for our misdeeds, right? Yesterday we made excuses why we don't daven. Today we're making excuses why we don't learn. Okay, but the Gemara says, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pressured us into accepting the Torah becomes a great limud zchus for us. We could say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, you forced the Torah upon me. I never wanted the Torah. I never wanted to. I didn't sign up for the Torah. You put a gun to my head and said, accept the Torah or else. So we have a great excuse when we don't live up to our expectations, our obligations. So then we say to Hashem, I never wanted the Torah. You forced me into it. But the Gemara says that all changed with Purim. Because Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim means what? Says the Gemara, Hadar kiblua bimei Achashverosh. We re-accepted the Torah, and Rashi over there in Masechta Shabbos says, Me'avas hanes, out of the love of the miracle that Hashem performed for us, we re-accepted the Torah with a greater appreciation for Torah. In other words, from the time of Har Sinai until Kabbalah HaTorah, however, we had an excuse. I never wanted the Torah. You forced me into Torah, Hashem. You bullied me into accepting the Torah. Once Purim came, the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah, and because of that, we have full accountability for our relationship with Torah. Tosvos, over there in Masechta Shabbos Peches Amud Beis, Tosvos asked the following question. Tosvos says, Ha'amru Nase V'nishma. Tosvos says, why did Hashem have to put a mountain over our head? After all, we said Nase V'nishma. We said that we were interested in the Torah. Right? So why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu have to force us into accepting the Torah? We already said Nase V'nishma. I'm just looking. I think, yeah, it's Peches Amud Aleph. Yeah, it's a little typo on the page in front of us. Tosfos is on Peches Amud Aleph in Masechta Shabbos. Why did Hashem have to force us into accepting the Torah? We already said Nase V'nishma. Kvar Hikdimu Nase L'nishma. Nase V'nishma means we were so enthusiastic about Torah. So why does Hashem have to force us, Jared, to accept the Torah if we already said we want it, right? That's the question of Tosfos. Why did Hashem need to force us? Why do they need to put a mountain over our head if we already said Nase V'nishma? So obviously, the Nase V'nishma, the original excitement for Torah, was not enough, that Hashem felt a need to coerce us into accepting the Torah. And what we're about to learn is that there are many levels of our relationship with Torah. we're going to talk primarily about three levels of our relationship with Torah. Sort of that initial excitement, the need to take greater responsibility for the Torah, and then even greater responsibility for the Torah. Okay, so let's see. Vinira, perhaps we can explain as follows. Kasher yadua sheyeshnei mine avodos etzel tzadikim. There are two types of tzadikim, and let's define it, says the Kozhik Lover, says Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, says the Eretz Tzvi. Let's define it in terms of the way people daven. Picture, again, I hate to be stereotypical, but picture a Shana Aleph kid who like really flipped out hard. Right? And picture his Shmona Esrei. When he's chuckling like a little too hard that you're worried that he's going to pass out by the end of Mincha, you know? And his eyes are closed and he's going like this, you know? He's pumping the heavens. He's trying to shake down all the shef in the world. And that's a gevaldik thing. That's a gevaldik thing. To see a person who has such a passion, right, that he's on fire for Yiddishkeit. Again, sometimes you see it when the person is davening. You see a lot of an external expression of his inner eish, of his inner fire. That's a holy thing. And there are tzaddikim who always daven that way. There's two types of tzaddikim, he says. Yeshem ispalin bislavis atzuma v'tshuka aza. There are those who are davening with islavis atzuma, with great passion, with tshuka aza, with very strong desire. Rishpe eish shalheves ya, which is a pasuk, that like shooting fire out of their mouth, right? Like a flame, like a flame of the Lord, mamish on fire for Hashem. Vizoi avoda belev, and that is an expression of a heart that's on fire for Hashem. When the emotional connection to Torah is strong, right, that it's just overflowing. That's one type of avoda. There are other tzaddikim who, when they daven, their mamish so still. They don't even chuckle. Their mamish like frozen in place. It's an amazing thing to watch also. It's also very inspiring. It's not just the person who's, you know, who's flailing, right, during Shmona Esrei. I mean, the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was so enthusiastic when he would daven. He would start in one corner. He would end his Shmona Esrei. He'd end his davening in the other corner of the room. Literally jumping around the room. His story is the Kedushas Levi, you know, like Mamish doing backflips during davening. And then you have tzaddikim like the Kotzker Rebbe, who stood very still, didn't even chuckle. Mamish stood perfectly still. No external expression. The Kotzker Ish MS, and his MS was, I don't need to display for anyone other than Baruch Hu my feelings or my thoughts. So says the Kozhik Lover, says to me, the first type of davener is what we call avoda belev. A heart, an emotional connection to him that is mamish overflowing. But there are tzaddikim who read a maila gedola yoser mizeh, an even higher level, shemispalin bili nua klal. They don't daven with any movement at all. Bitachlis hadas, with complete mindfulness, mental connection to Hashem, and that's what we're going to call avoda b'moach, serving Hashem with one's mind. It's not as emotionally charged, but it's intellectually very deep. It's mentally very present. V'i efshar levo l'madrega shnia atcha over t'chila ha-madrega harishona. Says the Eretz Tzvi, it's impossible to come to the second level until you first experience the first level. In other words, there's supposed to be that energy at the beginning, at the start. You know, someone comes to me and says, Rebbe, you know, I've been dating for a while, and it's like, it's amazing, you know, it's perfect, everything's amazing, and it's going so strong, and there's such intense feelings of love, and like, okay, then that's good, that's a good thing, right? A relationship should have an intensity to it. But eventually it has to cool off, and it has to stabilize in a way that's realistic, right? When a person says, oh, this, you know, this is perfect, you know, we're perfect for each other. Perfect. You never disagreed? No, we don't disagree about anything. Okay, good luck, man. You know, that's not realistic, right? That you know, that intensity of that late night mishmar, Thursday night, Shana Aleph, where for a second you thought you were the Gadol Hador, right? It's not, okay. You have to come back down to planet Earth a little bit. But says the Kodesh Lover, it's very important. It's very, very important to get swept up by it, right? Nasim and Ishma, yeah, we'll sign up. We don't even know what we're signing up for. Nasim and Ishma. Right? We were so charged coming out of Mitzrayim after seeing such open miracles that we threw ourselves onto a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nasa b'nishma, wildly in love with Hashem, right? Like an uncontrollable love. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that's important. You can't get to level two until you first experience level one. You're supposed to have that wild hisoris for Hashem, to fall madly in love with Hashem. That's good. That has a place. That has a very important place. The Sfarim say that Yitzias Mitzrayim is Gematria Nasa v'nishma. Because when you experience a Yitzias Mitzrayim, when you went from being such a lowly, you know, crushed slave for so long, and all of a sudden you're on top of the world, Yitzias Mitzrayim turns into Nasa v'nishma. That's why Yitzias Mitzrayim is Gematria Nasa v'nishma. Right? You go from that feeling of like, I'm free, I can do anything and conquer the world. Nasa v'nishma, sign me up for the Torah. You want to hear what's in it? No, we'll work it out after. Just sign me up. Okay. That's level one. And it's important. Kimidumani shereisi zos b'sefer zichron zos me'arava kadosh mi'lublin. And he says, I believe I saw something like this from the Choza of Lublin, from the great seer of Lublin. I saw such an idea. That you need these two levels. You need level one to get to level two. That first level is just such longing, hishtokus, such ratzon, such desire, such passion, that it's b'li cheshbon klal. You're not thinking. You're not thinking in a rational way. You're being overly emotional. And that has a place. It has a place. Achaderech hashnia, but when a person graduates to a more mature relationship with Hashem, and a more mature relationship with Yiddishkeit, and a more mature relationship with himself, and a more mature relationship with one's, you know, spouse. So you graduate to a place where what? Where it's not as fiery all the time, but it's much more solid in a certain sense. Achaderech hashnia, hi b'cheshbon, it's with calculation, uvehizbonelis b'chol davar, it's with deep contemplation and understanding of things, b'tachlis dakus ha'iyun v'aseichel, with great what? With great precision, with great attention to details, right? With great mindfulness, with great thoughtfulness. V'hinei b'tchila ha'yu Yisrael b'madrega rishona. So again, we came out of Mitzrayim and we were on fire. It was an ahava b'ta'anugim. It was just this overflowing love for Hashem. Asher mayim rabim lo yuchvu lachavos asa'ava, right? Like the pasuk says, that great waters could not extinguish such an intense love, right? Mayim rabim, all the waters of the world, lo yuchlu lachvosa, could not extinguish, could not, right? Lachvosa, to extinguish, could not put out the fire. Such an intense fire. Al kein heishivu nasa v'nishma, b'li shum cheshbon klal. So the Jews came on the Red Har Sinai. Yeah, Nasa v'nishma. We love you, Hashem. We're excited. Sign us up. Amnam al yedei ze atzmo sheheshivo Nasa v'nishma alu v'hisalu v'higia l'madrega yoser gvoa mizeh. But then a person, through that intensity, right? You need that. You need that initial hisoris. You need that passion. You need to get excited. Otherwise, there's no way it's going to take off. But once you've blasted off, right? Once you've had that excitement, then the Jewish people were actually able to come to a higher level, which sometimes seems like a lower level. It seems like a setback. The higher level of what? B'bechinas avoda b'moach. Then the Jewish people said, "Okay, hold on. We have to try to take all this energy of our heart and try to stabilize it. We need to bring it to the avoda of the mind, right? Again, with greater precision." Not just Nasa v'nishma. I don't even know how to do Nasa v'nishma. I don't even know what I'm signing up for. Now I have to sit down. I have to say, okay, now Hashem hands out the Mishnah Berurahs at Har Sinai, right? And Hashem says, okay, there's a lot of details here. Start reading. Oh, this is a lot, you know. We liked it when it was just like raw passion. That's nice, right? But now there's a lot of practical details you have to be paying attention to, right? Sif katan aleph, sif katan beis, sif katan gimel, yeah? Sounds starting to sound like today's Mari Makomo Street for Gemara, right? The details. You gotta work out the details. Be'ion v'hisboninus, b'mesinos v'dakus ha'ion. With precision, with contemplation, b'mesinos, with patience. You're not gonna become the Gadol Hador overnight. You're not gonna transform your bad midos overnight. With patience, slowly. V'dakus ha'ion. Right? And again, fine analysis, precision. Vigam ki oz ba'alosim l'madrega rama, einayim shapir chazu godol halachrayis shemakabel isha yisraeli al atzmo. At first, it's just the excitement, again, of the relationship. We're dating Hashem, and it's going really well, and we're really excited, and we're having a fun time. And then all of a sudden, we start to talk about marriage, and we're like, whoa, hold on a second, that's serious stuff. That's a big achrayis. That's a huge responsibility. There's a reason that we can't live together until there's a ksuba, there's a marriage contract, right? There are rules. There's a huge achrayis. The Jewish people say, wait a minute. Their eyes became open to the word that we're going to focus on, achrayis. They took responsibility. They understood this is a huge responsibility. This is not all fun and games. Shemekabel ishi Yisraeli al atzmo, a serious responsibility in accepting the Torah. It's not a joke. When you sign up for Torah, it's high stakes. It's serious stuff. Ki b'kiyam haTorah kol tzva maro misalim umismalim shefa kedosha. Because when we keep the Torah, all of the tzva marom, all of the heavenly hosts are lifted up, are filled with kedusha. It's a huge responsibility. All of the worlds, not just world, worlds, plural, are dependent upon our behavior. And when we start to fall apart in Torah, everything falls apart. Then all of the, what's a tzinor? A tzinor is like a pipe, a channel. All of the channels become broken. And everything starts to collapse. The Nefesh HaChaim writes in several places that if Torah is not being studied by someone in the world at any moment, if for a second the world would be without someone engaged in Torah, the world would go back to tohu vavohu. The world would cease to exist. The Torah is literally the life of the universe. And the more we're pumping, you know, Torah into the world, then the more shefa, the more kedusha, the more proper things are. But when those channels start to break, right, the pagam is nora ma'od, the damage is unbelievable. So it's a big achray. So you go to Israel for the year. Again, I keep coming back to that mashal, and maybe it's a good example, or maybe it's overused. But a person goes, and a person, you know, is on fire, and they're inspired, and it's a great opportunity, right? But I once read in the Sefer, the Spinker Rebbe of Bnei Brak. The Spinker Rebbe of Bnei Brak wrote in one of his Sfarim, he said, Torah is not like anything else. If you choose to learn about any subject in the world, it doesn't obligate you. You're not bound to live that subject. In other words, let's take a extreme scenario. A person goes to medical school, right? And they dedicate years of their life to the study of medicine. There's nothing that forces them at the end to be a doctor. If they decide at the end to walk away from it and spend their life as a freelance artist, yeah, they have the right to do that. They have the right to do that. There's nothing that for the knowledge that they have. Okay, maybe you'll say, well, if you have the knowledge, how could you not help people? Okay. There's no obligation. The fact that they know about medicine doesn't obligate them to practice medicine. If you learn about history, you don't have to be a historian. When you learn Torah, this is the double-edged sword of studying Torah. When you learn Torah, it's not an option not to live it now. When you learn that there's something called Shalashudas, which is a chiyuv, that you're supposed to have three meals every Shabbos, right? And you learn that, and we think about that, and we talk about that. So now, it's not just like, well, now I can continue to ignore it. It's become my life now. When I learn halachos of Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda, when I learn halachos of Shinoi Makom, so I have to live that now. I can't just say, oh, whatever, like, I didn't know that you're not allowed to walk around, you know, from what, I can't, like, take food from one place to another place, and I never heard of that before. Well, now you heard about it. So you can't ignore it anymore. It becomes an obligation now. And that's a weighty obligation. When a person studies Torah, it becomes a weighty obligation. And Klal Yisrael understood that. Nasa v'nishma is signing up for it without even knowing what it is. But now Hashem says, okay, now I'm teaching it to you. And they're like, well, we got to think about this. At that point, it wasn't so pashut. It's a big achrayis. It's a big responsibility. It can increase the holiness and the blessing of the world. Or God forbid, it can cause the world to collapse. Azbo b'cheshbon v'yiru l'nafsham l'kabel es haTorah. It was at that moment Klal Yisrael had to make a choice. Are we prepared to accept the Torah with all of its weightiness? Because maybe, God forbid, we'll be makalkel, we'll damage, we'll break. Yachtiu asamatara, will miss the mark, will fail to achieve the goal. V'gehenim v'sh'ol tachtis psucha lifneyem chas v'shalom. And now that you've decided to stand under a chuppah to get married, so now it's high stakes. Right? If you're just going on a couple of dates and you decide to break up, okay, it's also painful. But it's not the same thing as a person who entered into a marriage and then that falls apart. It's a totally different thing. So we were all excited. We're dating Hashem, and Hashem's all excited to date us. And we come out of Mitzrayim, and Nasa v'Nishma, Gematria Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're on fire. And then all of a sudden, Hashem's like, okay, now we're standing under the chuppah. That's part of that imagery of the mountain over our head. You want to get married? And Hashem says, no, you're prepared to do this in a real way. The Torah is our ksuba, as our contractual agreement to each other, responsibilities. I'm not so sure anymore. They saw Gehenna open in front of them. They saw the responsibility. They saw how things could be great, but things could also be a disaster. V'gam ki oz higiu l'malas yiras haromimis v'ha yureyim yoyser michet. And the Jewish people started to understand, again, in a deeper way, with greater fear and trepidation. What is the mountain? What's he explaining to us? What's the Eretz Tzvi saying to us? We came to Har Sinai with level one, excitement. But then at Har Sinai, Hashem put the mountain overhead and said, okay, are you prepared to take on the weightiness? Again, that's the imagery of the mountain suspended overhead. Are you prepared to hold up this huge responsibility? Do you have an understanding that if things start to not work out, You're in it now. You're signing up, right? With Yiras HaChet, with an understanding of the realities of this responsibility. It's a heavy thing, it's a serious thing. And the Jewish people understood that. And they started to understand that in a serious way. And that's level two. Level two is this understanding that Torah is a huge responsibility. I'm happy to sign up for it. I'm excited to sign up for it. I'm eager to sign up for it. But with a deep appreciation of what it means to take on that achrayus. Okay, Chaver, let's jump to the next paragraph. Because there's even a third level. There's a third level, which is Purim. Right, so now you have to figure out, what is Purim? What happens on Purim? Hadar kiblu abimei achashverosh. Level one is sort of this immature, but very sweet excitement for Torah coming out of Mitzrayim. Level two is standing with the mountain over your head saying, okay, this is serious stuff, but I can do this. What's level three? What's level three? So let's learn, he says, let's take a look at Rus. Because Rus, of course, comes to join the Jewish people with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. She gives up the life of being a non-Jewish princess to be an impoverished Jewish woman. She's willing to risk, you know, to bet on Klal Yisrael. And her mother-in-law is very nervous for her. Let's just review the Psukim in Rus for a second, okay? Let's pause for a second. Let's take a look at the Psukim in the first parak of Rus. Yeah? Okay, it's very sweet. Rus and Arpa, you know, they're thinking about sticking it out with Naomi. Yeah, and they're crying. And Arpa eventually says, you know what, this is not for me. It's too much. She kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and she's gone. V'Rus dav kaba. But Rus clung to Naomi. Right? She says, I'm sticking around. But Tomer, so she says to her, this is Perak Aleph of Rus, Pasuk Tezvav, Hinei shava yivim teich elama ve'el Elohea. Come on, your sister-in-law went back. She went back to her family. She went back to her old gods. Shuv yachre yivim teich. Go back. Go with your sister-in-law. This is not good. I used to be a successful, wealthy woman. I knew you were excited originally. But this doesn't make sense. Leave me. And listen to the strength of Rus's commitment to her mother-in-law, and by extension to Torah and to Hashem. V'tomer Rus, al tifkei bi la'azvech l'shuv me'acharayich. Don't pressure me. Al tifkei bi. Right? Don't push me to leave you, to turn away. Ki al asher telchi elech. I'm sticking it out. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. U'v'asher talini olin. Where you spend the night, where you sleep, I'll sleep. Amech ami. Your people is my people. Elohayich, Elohai. Your God is my God. And she says, I am so all in. I am so all in joining the Jewish people, says Rus, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ba'asher Tamusi Amus, where you die, I die. If this stock crashes, I'm sticking it out. I'm going to crash with it. I'm in. I'm all in. If the Jewish people end up back as slaves in Mitzrayim, I'm coming along for the ride. Visham ekaber. I will be buried by your side. I'm in it all the way. Ko ya'aseh Hashem li v'ko yosif ki amavis yafrid b'ni uveinich. That's all I have to say, says Rus. The only thing that's going to separate me from you is death itself. I'm in it all the way. And Naomi looks at her daughter-in-law, and she sees how committed she is, and how dedicated, how all in she's prepared to invest in Yiddishkeit. She sees how much she's misametzes, right? How much oimetz, how much strength she has, how determined she is to go with her. And she says, okay, I can't talk you out of it. I'm not talking you out of it at this point. Friends, what exactly was happening in this moment? And what does it mean for us? And why does Mashiach, which we know comes from Rus, in a certain sense, come out of this moment, emerge from this moment? When Rus says to her mother-in-law, like we just read, Ba'asher tamusi amus, where you die, I will die, and I'll be buried there. And there I shall be buried. It's very interesting. It's very similar to the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashem put the mountain over our head and accept the Torah, or what? Sham tehei kfuraschem. There you shall be buried. It's exactly what Rus says, right? V'sham, and there I shall be buried. I'm in it all the way. Peirush Rashi, sha'amra la Naomi. Naomi apparently tried to talk Rus out of it, and she said to her, Rus, do you realize how serious this stuff is? This is not a game. Arba misos nimsru labestin. Don't you realize that if you violate Shabbos, you could be killed for that? Don't you realize this is high stakes? Don't you understand? A person who's Machal Shabbos amazing is Chayv Skila. Don't you understand there's Arba Misos Basin? You could be Skila, Sreifa, Herig, Chenek. There's a lot of things that can go wrong here. And Rus says, I understand. I could end up getting killed in capital punishment by a Jewish court. I understand that. And I'm in. I'm still in. Basher tamusi amus. Where you die, I will die. Explained the Rebbe of Sakachov, who again the Eretz Tzvi was a Talmud of. The Rebbe of Sakachov, the Holy Avnei Nezer, he explained the following. Ki Naomi amra l'Rus. Naomi said to Rus, here's what she was saying to her. Ki behisgaira hi mekabeles al atzma achrayis gedola. Converting, was he trying to scare her? Judaism is beautiful. Why doesn't she say? Tell her about the nice parts of Yiddishkeit. Why is she scaring her? Right? Why is she saying, you could get killed by Beis Din. There's something called kares. We give out lashes. Why is she scaring her? She's not scaring her. However, she's not scaring her. She's teaching her to be realistic. The life of a frum Jew is heavy. There's real responsibilities. It's a big achrayis. Understand that when you choose to convert, to join our people, you're accepting upon yourself a huge achrayis. Ki amnam nachon hu, she'ish Yisraeli yachol lahagia lamalos ramos v'nizgavos. It's true. I know the upside is very great also. It's possible for a Jew to reach great, lofty madregos. Aval l'umas zeh, but on the flip side, yuchol gamken lekalkel yoser v'lipol leve'er shachas. But the downside is also more significant. If you live like a non-Jew and keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, so it's low risk, there's only limited growth, but there's also only a limited amount a person could fall. But if you sign up for 613, if you sign up, like your name implies, Rus is Gematria 606, if you take on the other 606, you already have 7, right? Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. If you take on the other 606, that's a huge achrayis. That's a massive responsibility. Do you understand that a person could be sent to Be'er Shachas, can go to Gehenim? Omek Shafel, Mechuvan Keneged Omek Ram. Do you realize that there's a tremendous tent on the other side of the great ascent? And you know what Rus's response is? Rus says, I know. I understand. And it's worth it. Basher Ti Amus. I understand. I understand there's Dalad Misos Basin. I understand. I understand how serious this stuff is. The way the Sakachov Rebbe explained is that Rus said, it's kedai to get involved. It's worth playing the game. It's worth taking the risk to be a Jew. And that, I understand that means it's going to come with some of the harshest suffering in history. But it also comes with some of the most beautiful, exalted moments in history. And you know what? I'm not afraid to jump in. Even if it means that Sof Kol Sof, I'm going to end up in Be'er Shachas. Even if it means I'm going to end up what? I'm going to end up in Gehenna. It's worth it. Afkach kedai lo liyos sha'achas tachas kanfei ha'shechina. Wow. It's worth it to be able to say, I was a Jew. I was a Jew. As Jews, as there's stories of Jews in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps, right? Who in their dying moments looked the Nazis, the powerful Nazis in Yimach Shemam in their face, and said, I'd rather be on this end of the gun. As you're about to put a bullet in my head, I'd rather be the Jew taking the bullet than be the wicked Nazi with the gun in his hand. Right? I'd rather be on my side of the equation, even though it's going to cost me everything. Basher tamus yamus. V'kach hayo b'yamei Achashverosh. L'chever, listen. This is a very deep and mature understanding of what Purim is. And it's a little counterintuitive because you think, what do you mean? Purim's the day where like, woo, Purim, you know? Purim's like Nasa v'nishma, right? Purim is the reacceptance of the Torah, which is supposed to be like that crazy high again, no? Again, we came out of Mitzrayim, we're on this super high. We came to Har Sinai, it was a little more sobering. But then Purim's the party again, right? What's the nature of the party? What's the Ad Delo Yada of Purim? What's the Simcha of Purim? What's the Simcha of Purim? Again, on a superficial level, it's that excitement again. It's the restoration of that excitement that we felt at that initial encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's a higher level, that means it has to be deeper. It has to be even more stable. Purim is stable. Purim is the least stable day of the year. The most chaotic day of the whole year. So Chevra, look inside. Look what he says. V'kachaya b'yamei Achashverosh. What was the acceptance of Torah b'yamei Achashverosh? It was a love. It was an acceptance out of love. Again, the original acceptance was with tremendous passion and love. And then there was sort of the sobering reality of Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiges. And then Purim is the reacceptance out of love. Not so simple. Let's understand it in a deep way. In the days of Achashverosh, Yisrael alu l'madrega rama ba'ava. They reached a level of love, which is what? Which is a love that's not, it's not the first couple of dates. It's not that initial excitement and passion. It's the deep, deep love that says that I would do anything for you. I'd be prepared to make the ultimate sacrifices for you. To reach that level of Ava B'Tanugim, right? Which is not, again, that immature level one type of love, but a level three type of love. After everything has been calculated, right? After I worked out all the nitty-gritty details, with an understanding that being a Jew is high stakes, that I can cause more damage to the world than a regular person. And that's a scary thing. That's a scary thought. That's a tremendous pressure that we feel sometimes in our religious lives. And I could fall to the mamish to the depths. And achar kol zeh, and with that full awareness, hoder kiblu abimei achashverosh b'ratzon shalim. But to be able to then say, with a smile, with a simcha, afal pichein, with a full understanding of what it is, right? I'm going to take kind of that leap of faith, adelo yada. Now that I do know, now that I'm yada, I'm going to kind of throw myself into the adelo yada. And that's what Rus is saying, Basher Tamusi Amus. I'm going all in. I'm prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice. When the students are crying, as Rabbi Akiva is giving his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, Rabbi Akiva is making the ultimate sacrifice. He's giving away everything. Right? Mamish, the ultimate sacrifice. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he's dying on the word Echad. Echad B'Gematria Ava, the amazing love that he has for Hashem. Prepared to give my life for Hashem. To mamish give my life for Hashem. And the students of Rabbi Akiva can't understand it. Rabbi Akiva, it's not fair. In the world of cheshbon, in the world of numbers, it doesn't add up. The sacrifices you made for Hashem, the choices you made in your life, you should have the greatest reward. You shouldn't die the most horrific death. That's not fair. That doesn't make sense. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? No, no, no. Rabbi Akiva says, My whole life I've been waiting for this moment. Right? I've been waiting for the opportunity to make the sacrifice for Hashem. Basher Tamusi Amus, I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to die, Al Kiddush Hashem. That's the greatest form of connection. It's greater than the initial passion. It's greater than the full, mature understanding of the responsibilities. It's something that goes beyond that. It touches what? What's called an Ahava Misuteres, a hidden love. A hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that reaches the deepest, deepest point of a Jew. That can only emerge on the deepest day, like a day like Purim. Sha'akol kedai kedai lios rega echad dovuk b'chai olamim. Right, like Rus said, I'm prepared to put it all on the line just to have a short period of time to be able to be this close to Hashem. Which is why sometimes after Purim, by the way, a person feels their worst. And it doesn't even have to be the person, God forbid, who got drunk in a dangerous way. There's a feeling after Purim like, oh, I missed the opportunity. I couldn't hold on to it enough. It slips through your hands. You tasted something so lofty, but it's so unrealistic to live with it all the time. Right? So why do we have Purim? Why do I need that? Why do I need to touch that place which I can't hold on to? But it's worth it. Even if I feel like garbage the next day. It's worth it to touch that place of Dveikus Ba'Hashem. To be Davak for Rega Echad, for one moment. For one moment to make contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in such a deep way. So says the Eretz Tzvi. Chavar, let's wrap up. Says the Eretz Tzvi. So what we're learning here is that there are three Madregos when it comes to our relationship with Hashem. V'hayu b'zeh shalosh Madregos b'Yisrael. Three levels of Jewish connection, of Jewish living. Me'ikara amru nasa v'nishma. Level one, nasa v'nishma. Chukas halev, b'li cheshbon klal. Without calculation, it's just pure passion. I love you, Hashem. Acher kach higiu lebechinas moach. Then a person starts to internalize with responsibility, with maturity, with an understanding of the details. V'hutzruchu lekviyas ahar kigigas. And that takes a little bit of coercion. That's not so fun. It takes a little bit of pressure, right? And Hashem has to pressure us to understand, you know, if you're signing up for this, here are the responsibilities. V'acher kach b'me'ach ha-shveirosh. But then we come to a level of love, which is a deeper type of love. Higiu la'ava atzuma va'oza yoser. We reach a level of love that is simply beyond. It reaches an even higher level. Sha'afilo achar she'yadu heitiv as godal achareis. Even after we know the full, you would think, after you know the full weightiness of what it means to be a Jew, you would choose to opt out. And yet we opted in. We could fall to the lowest of places. We understand that. We understand the risks. Yet a Jew decides that no matter what. Yes, I almost was destroyed by Haman. I almost lost my life. Not only my personal life, our people were nearly destroyed. But you know what? I would do it again. I would take that risk again. It was worth it to be a Jew, even if the end is going to be a painful and bitter end. It's worth it to take a shot at it. When a person actually grabs on to Hashem in this way, there's only so low a person could fall. Because I'm davuk to Hashem, I'm clinging to Hashem. There's a fear that at any moment everything could fall apart. But it's really the deepest connection. It's the deepest love. It's the deepest protection a person can have. It's the ultimate sacrifice. And chevra, what comes out from this? Again, Mashiach comes from this. V'hine michuka gedola. Turn to the last page. Shal rus lizgayr b'mesiras nefesh gemura. When rus is prepared to convert with that awesome mesiras nefesh, Rabbi Akiva level mesiras nefesh, that his students are crying. They say, Rabbi, it's not fair. And Rabbi Akiva says, this is the greatest. Being tortured by the Romans to death is the greatest. I've been waiting my whole life for this. What kind of sadistic person are you? No, you don't understand what this is. This is touching a place that goes beyond. This is an Ahava Misuteres that I can't put into words. Right? This is the ultimate proof of my love for Hashem. And from there, sprouts Nitzmacha Malchus Beis David. When Rus says, Ba'asher Tamusi Amus, I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to go all in. That's where Mashiach emerges from. That's the moment that David HaMelech starts to emerge from the world of Rus. V'kach gam yachukha gedola shebnei Yisrael b'Purim. So chevra, you know what we're building on Purim? If Rus, in her moment of dedication, starts to build Mashiach, so what are we building? What are we building on Purim? Right, what are we building? What exactly are we creating on Purim? From the chukha gedola, from the hadr kiblu abimei achashverosh, through the Mesiras Nefesh of choosing Hashem after just learning how close it was to being destroyed by Haman, Mizet Samcha Malchus Shemaim Shlema. From that, we're also building a Malchus. Just like Rus, through her Mesiras Nefesh, started to build Malchus Beis David, the Malchus of Mashiach, when we're Moser Nefesh, when we choose the Torah by fully understanding what it is and still going for it, from there, we start to rebuild what? The Malchus Shemayim Shlema. What does that mean? Malchus Beis David, Hu Echad Im Sfiras Malchus Shu Malchus Shemayim. David HaMelech is going to end a little bit Kabbalistic here, but hang on for a second. He says, Malchus Beis David corresponds, to the Sfira of Malchus. Again, I like to think of it in terms of the seven Ushpizin, the seven guests that we have on Sukkot. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes. David, our seventh guest, corresponds to the Sfira of Malchus. Because David is a Melech. David builds a Malchus. Right? But there's also a Malchus Shemayim that we're trying to fix. There's something that happened at the end of Parshas B'Shalach where Amalek comes and Malek tries to destroy Hashem's kingdom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly at war with Amalek. Right? The end of Parshas B'Shalach, let's take a look just for 1 second. It says at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, it says, Vayomer, ki yad al kes ka, milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midor dor. Right? Moshe builds a mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Nisi, and he said that what? Ki yad al kes ka, ki yad, the hand, so to speak, of Amalek is al kes ka. Kes means the kise, the throne of Yud-Heh, of Hashem. Right? Amalek has taken away the aleph of kise. Amalek has taken away the vav-hei of Hashem's full name. And therefore, as is explained by Chazal, until we're able to restore Hashem's throne, a king can't have a kingdom without a throne. So until we restore Hashem's throne and restore Hashem's name, we're constantly at battle against Amalek. Milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. We're fighting with Amalek to try to restore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. It's interesting, Chavar, you know this pasuk. In Yeshaya, and it's how we begin Havdalah. Hine kel Yeshua siyav tach v'lo avchad, ki aziv zimras ka Hashem v'yihi li Yeshua. What does that even mean? How do you translate that pasuk? Hine kel Yeshua si, the God of my salvation, eftach v'lo avchad. I will trust in Hashem, I'm not afraid. Listen to this. Ki aziv zimras ka Hashem. What is ka Hashem? Right? Yud hei, and then yud kei vav kei. Hashem is my strength and my might. Ka Hashem. What is Ka Hashem? Explains Rashi. Have a look on the side of the page over here. Explains Rashi in the 12th chapter of Yeshaya. Ka Hashem. Adheina hayeshamo chaluk. Hashem's name is currently broken. We only have half of Hashem's name. We only have the Yud and the Hay. But when Amalek falls, Mapalasa shal Amalek nasa shalem, it allows Hashem's name to what? To be restored. This Shabbos is Parsha Shkalim. Parsha Shkalim, we give a half a shekel, but we want to be able to be zoicha one day to give a whole shekel. Some tzaddikim even explain that when Mashiach comes, we're going to give a whole shekel. We want to restore, we want Hashem's throne and Hashem's name to be complete. Ki yad al keskai, quotes the Rashi, quotes the pasuk we just read. Amalek has their hand on Hashem's throne. Ein hakisei shalem, ve'ein Hashem shalem. Hashem's throne and Hashem's name can't be complete until what? Until we finish the milchama against the Malik. Achitei milchama l'Hashem ba'malik. Until we finish the battle against the Malik. So just like Rus began to what? To establish a throne, the kingdom of David HaMelech, through her Mesiras Nefesh, Chevra on Purim, we're also building a throne. We're putting Hashem back on his throne. And by doing that, we're defeating Amalek. And Amalek is all of that anxiety. Is this going to work out? Is this not going to work out? Do you realize what you're signing up for? Amalek tries to intimidate us to abandon Torah, to not be willing to take that risk. But Chevra, on Purim we begin to what? We begin to restore the Malchus Shemayim. But Purim meschilin shloshim yom kodma Pesach, sha'oz moed hischachus Malchus Shemayim li Yisrael. We know that Nisan, it tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, is when Jewish kings start to count their kingdom. They start to count their reign from the month of Nisan. So Purim is starting to what? It's starting to put the king back on the throne. It's the restoration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. And the way that we do that is, again, with this with this third level of Mesiras Nefesh, Basher Tamusi Amus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm prepared to die for you. After everything Haman tried to do to us, I would still sign up again. And after knowing how sick I got last Purim, and again, I'm not, Chas V'Shalom, encouraging anyone to get sick on Purim or to do anything irresponsible. Okay, you can listen to the Sichos Musar I gave in YU a couple of years ago about the dangers of drinking. I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't encourage anyone here to be an alcoholic. Be responsible and understand Ad Lo Yada, for whatever that means. Follow the opinion of the Ramah, drink a little and go to sleep. I don't know. Figure out what to do. Right? But sometimes a person, again, wakes up, you know, the morning after Purim, and there's a feeling of like, you know, that was really rough. That was, or like, you know, whatever it is for each person. Again, I'm not encouraging it. I'm just be very careful with my words so they don't come back, God forbid, to haunt me. But at the same time, there's a metzias, there's a halacha of Ad Lo Yada, right? And there's a feeling of trying to reach beyond on Purim. And there's a feeling after Purim of like, you know, I think back to last Purim, again, this is not speaking for myself, but someone might say, I think back to last Purim, and I remember being like sick, you know, after Purim. Why would I do that again? Why would I sign up for that again? Why would I sign up to be a Jew after Haman nearly, now I'm signing up more than ever to be a Jew after we had such a close call where Haman nearly destroyed us? And the answer is, yeah, that's what Rus taught us. Basher Tamusi Amus. I'm prepared to make the ultimate. It's worth it to be close to Hashem on such a high level, even if I come crashing down afterwards. That's the third level that we try to reach on Purim. Okay, so Chavre, it's a mature piece of Torah. Again, level one, to just, you know, to fall in love with Hashem. It's beautiful, it's sweet. But then a person matures, they understand the responsibility, and they try to be more balanced about it. But then there has to be, again, kind of this all-in, that even after I know how risky it is and how high the stakes are, to be able to be makabalit, to die al kiddush Hashem like Rabbi Akiva with a smile on your face, to say I was waiting for this moment, it's a very high level that maybe we can only touch once a year on Purim. Okay, so we should be zocha to grasp a little bit of that madrega, and halavai, we should take it with us into the rest of our lives. Something to strive for. All right, it's a deep piece. It's a Jew, by the way, who, again, gave his life al kiddush Hashem, you know? It's one thing for Stam, anyone to say such a... But for someone who died in 1943 at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, to be able to have shared such a Torah in the 1930s or the 1920s, you know, is not Stam. It's not a small thing.